My faith looks up to thee. That's a hymn that I suspect many of you have known most of your lives. It's one of those hymns, you know. There are various styles of hymns in the Christian community. Some hymns are sort of formal, corporate expressions of praise of the people of God. Other hymns are more personal and direct. And this hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, is one of those personal faith declarations. And of course, it's appropriate in our worship that there be both elements, you know. Both the times when we get together as community and in unity express our praise to the Lord in informal ways, and also that our worship, which touches us personally, is expressed personally. And this is a hymn that helps us to do that. Now, it's not the purpose of this series to focus greatly on the story of how the hymn came into being. It's more to look at the content of the hymn and the words that we're expressing faith in. But it always helps to have a little sense of background about a hymn. And this hymn was, the words were written by a man named Ray Palmer. And he was an American, lived in the 19th century, born in 1808. This hymn was written when he was quite a young man, about the age of 22. He later, a few years later, was ordained as a minister and served congregations in New England and New York State. But this was out of the period of his early life. Now, the music was written by a man who was somewhat older than Ray Palmer, a man named Lowell Mason, who was well reputed for his composition of sacred music in that time period. He ended up being the director of music for the Boston school system, but it seems as though his heart was in the music of faith. Now, the story of how these two people got together is kind of fascinating, and I don't know a lot of details about it, but it appears that just after Ray Palmer had written this hymn, and he apparently wrote it down in a little notebook that he carried around with him to record thoughts and jottings as he went along. And Ray Palmer happened to meet Lowell Mason. Now, they must have been acquainted with each other because they, according to the story, met on the street in Boston. And Lowell Palmer, who was at that point about to prepare a book of Christian music, said to Ray Palmer, and he must have had some sense that this Ray Palmer was into writing, asked him if he had anything that might be suitable for this book that of music, Christian music, that he was preparing. And as the story goes, Ray Palmer sort of pulled out his little notebook and said, well, this is what I've written recently, and showed it to Lowell Mason on the street. And Lowell Mason was intrigued by it immediately and asked if he could make a copy of it. They went into a store and Lowell Mason wrote down the words, and then they parted company. And then, as it's said, Lowell Mason went home that night, reread the words, was deeply moved by them, and sat down and composed the hymn tune, All of That, to which we sing this hymn. And this hymn is a hymn that's pretty much inseparably linked to the music. You know, there are some hymns we sing to four or five different tunes. In fact, in good Scottish tradition, you didn't need a lot of tunes because many of the hymns and praise selections were written in the same meter, so you could sing them to any one of half a dozen different tunes. In the case of this hymn, it appears that, while there may be other music in this meter, the words and the music have always stuck close together. So that's a little of the background. And this comes out of Ray Palmer's life when he was a very young man. And the hymn is a personal expression of faith. It's built around a particular biblical image. And that is the image of Jesus as the Lamb of God. Let me just read the words of the hymn again, or the first verse. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. When we look at hymns, we often notice that there is a particular central thought. And in this case, Ray Palmer attaches his faith commitment to this image of Jesus as the Lamb of God. A very powerful image, of course, because, we read that portion from John's Gospel, where this was the sort of descriptive title that John the Baptist gave to Jesus at the very outset of Christ's public appearance as a teacher and as the Messiah. And it's a powerful image. It's an image which has been sustained in Christian community ever since. It's a powerful image because it goes directly to the heart of who Christ was and why he had come. The Lamb of God. Of course, to any Israelite, that reference immediately reminded them of sacrifice, because the lamb was one of the animals of sacrifice in the Old Testament. And by John the Baptist saying, here's the Lamb of God, he alerted people to the nature of Christ's mission and actually opened to them a glimpse of what was to come, even though it couldn't be recognized immediately. Because as the lamb was the animal of sacrifice in the Old Testament, so the Lamb of God was our sacrifice for sin. I just prompt you to look, you know, that we have a few Christian images around us in our sanctuary here, and one of them is the lamb. You may not be able to see it clearly from where you are, but on your way out this morning, take a glance at it. It's in the window to my right. The image of the lamb. Now, for Ray Palmer, this image in the expression of his faith was linked with forgiveness by God, pardon from sin, and a response of commitment, because as the coming of Jesus Christ called forth from people a response, so for Ray Palmer, to point in this, what was originally, I suppose, a poem, to point to the Lamb of God was to link it immediately with his faith commitment to what this image represented. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away, O let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. The hymn, of course, is a declaration of commitment. And he found powerful words to express that commitment. You know, in the Christian community, we look for ways sometimes to words and phrases that express our Christian commitment. Here's a very powerful one. As thou hast died for me, O, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. That was how he expressed the faith. That for Ray Palmer, this was the imagery that came forth when he focused on Christ as the Lamb, the expressed desire that in all his days he might reflect love in thanksgiving for God's gift of his Son. And a love that was intense and constant. O, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. And then he goes on, because he speaks very realistically about life. He was only a young man, but had enough experience of life to understand that it was not always roses. And he continued this way. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. Now, I don't know whether there were any specific experiences in Ray Palmer's young life that made him here refer to sorrow and the challenges of life. But what he voices is so genuine, and it's something with which we each can identify. And as it's a hymn that expresses faith and commitment, it's also a hymn that ventures into an area which we don't always talk about, you know, because it ventures into not just the midst of the challenges of life, but here is the looking ahead of a young man to where life inevitably ends. And so the final verse. When ends life's transient dream, when death's cold, sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. O, bear me safe above, a ransomed soul. perhaps in a way it's unusual for a person of his age at the time that he wrote this to be that thoughtful about death. But hey, we're of an age where we've gotten there, aren't we? We think about it. We ponder it. And as I have expressed sometimes, it's not death which I find a bit fearful, but the process of dying. And the hymn really covers that, you know. When death's cold, sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above, a ransomed soul. And there is a declaration of the way and the spirit and the manner in which we would, by the grace of God, end our time on this earth. And on the one hand, you may say this is a very somber topic, but it's cloaked in a way which is filled with hope, not despair. And so I leave this hymn with you to reflect upon, and when you sing it, don't miss that image of the Lamb of God, and let it take your thoughts to all that God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that the Savior made, and praise Him. I end with just a little word of testimony that Raymond Palmer made about this hymn, because it became a popular hymn in his own lifetime, and he was asked to comment upon it at various points along the way, and in one of those occasions he said this. He felt that his hymn was successful since it, quote, embodied in appropriate and simple language that which is most central in all true Christian experience, the act of faith in the divine Redeemer, the entrusting of the individual soul to Him entirely and forever. And, artists, appraisal of their own work doesn't always kind of match up with how the rest of the world sees it, but in this case, I think he had it right. Appropriate and simple language, the entrusting of the individual soul to the divine Redeemer, to Him entirely and forever.